Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Thanks to all of you who called in during our pledge drive, and welcome new members and renewing members. You make this station great. Today, we are going to be talking about the Wildlife Center of the North Coast and honoring founder Charnel Fee, who passed away last week. Almost 20 years ago, she came to the north coast of Oregon and established the only seabird specialty rehab center in Oregon. They also rehab mammals. Her legacy lives on. We're going to honor her today. And we're also going to talk about how the center is doing with the new director of the center, whom Charnel mentored for almost 8 years, Josh Sarampa. Hi, Josh. We're glad you're here.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for having me.
I know this is a difficult time for you all with the loss of Charnel.
Yeah, it has been tough.
And she was an incredible spirit. And before we talk about her, though, for those listeners who are not familiar with the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, why don't we talk a little bit about that? And we're going to talk about you and how you got involved and your history in a minute. But the mission of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is promoting compassion, empathy, and respect for all life through wildlife rehabilitation and ecological teachings. The Wildlife Center of the North Coast is a volunteer-based nonprofit Oregon corporation with IRS 501c3 tax-exempt status. Our mission is to rehabilitate injured, sick, orphaned, and displaced native wildlife with the goal of releasing healthy, viable wildlife back into the appropriate habitat. We operate under permits issued by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And both Charnel and Josh, Charnel was a licensed rehabilitator, and Josh is as well. Josh, how did you get involved with the Wildlife Center of the North Coast?
Well, I was 16 years old, which we require volunteers to be at least 17. But at the time, I got in at 16 years old. I was between my sophomore and junior year of high school.
You grew up, you were born and raised.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Astoria. I had plans to be a wildlife biologist in life because my grandfather was one. And then at 16, I called up the Wildlife Center and asked if they're accepting volunteers. And they gave me directions to the facility. I didn't know the first thing about birds or wildlife rehab, but I went out there and dove in. Next thing you know, I fell in love with it instantly. I mean, it's hard not to working with the wildlife. But I just started at 16 and was coming out once a week at first, and then picked up to a couple times a week, and then, you know, then of course whenever school would allow me to go in the afternoons and on the weekends. But I fell in love with it quickly.
And it sounds like Charnel fell in love with you, because Charnel was not what people would call a people person. Charnel was a wildlife person. She was a dedicated, passionate activist. She was no nonsense. She was all about her spirit was so strong. She was all about the birds. So when you first met her, and she was a tiny woman, mm-hmm. with just so much fire. So she obviously decided that you were serious, and she wanted to mentor you.
Yeah, well, yeah, like you said, she was certainly more dedicated to the wildlife than the people. Though she did have a soft side, she did like some people. I think that she ended up liking me more because I was out there all the time, kind of in her face all the time, asking her questions, following her around. And then she, you know, like I said, there all the time. I'd find a bird, bring it at 9 o'clock at night, you know, and she'd help me fix it up or whatever. So I think she just kind of realized that I was really interested in wildlife rehab. And then maybe she started thinking about the future of the center. Who knows how that worked out. But really, I think she just figured, well, he's learning fast. And, you know, he has an interest in it. And so, yeah, I think she just, because I was so persistent with wanting to learn more and everything, that she just decided to teach me more. And, you know, and then 7.5 years later or so, here I am.
As a director. So when you graduated from high school, did you stay and just continue to work then at the Wildlife Center?
I did. When I graduated high school, I was working at the center on weekends, and after college, I was going to college. I started at Classic Community College my freshman year, and I was going to the Wildlife Center in between classes, after school. And then, you know, there was a period of time where I ended up getting a full-time job and not working at the center much anymore. Met my wife, and then I came back to the center and stuck this time. But yeah, it's always been in the back of my mind, no matter where I've been, that's where I want to be. You know, when I was working full-time job, I was trying my best to come out once a week, you know, on my weekends. But yeah.
I remember when I first met Charnel, probably about 10 years ago, and I actually found an injured bird in my neighborhood. And I've called the Wildlife Center several times when we found some injured seabirds as well. This was not a seabird, but that's the great thing about the Wildlife Center. They tell you what to do, where to go, how to do it, and so they really – we wouldn't have some of the wildlife we have here today if it weren't for the Wildlife Center, because thousands – of birds and mammals have been rehabilitated because of the center, which, for those listeners who aren't familiar with it, tell us what the center is. It's acreage, right, on which there is located.
So we're a 501c3 nonprofit wildlife hospital, essentially. We are licensed through Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to rehabilitate all native wildlife. Of course, like you said, we are specialized in seabirds. We sit on about 105 acres out 9 miles east of Astoria there. And on that 105 acres, we have a state-of-the-art facility that we built about 8 years ago. And what we do is we take in, you know, people call, like you had before. They found a bird on the beach with an injured wing or just on the beach, and they're not sure why. They call us up, and we turn you into a volunteer. We ask you to capture it, secure it if you can. And if you're close enough, we ask you to bring it somewhere and meet us. If you're down south somewhere, we ask you if you can bring it to Seaside or otherwise. We have transport volunteers that we call up, and they will call you, meet you, get the bird from you, and bring it up to us. But what we do is we take in injured wildlife at our facility. If they have a laceration, we suture it up. If they have a broken wing, we fix it. Some of the animals, of course, can't be fixed, and we either place in a facility we use for education, or, you know, the sad part is we have to euthanize some if they're really bad. But yeah, our goal is to take in injured wildlife with the intent of releasing it back out to the wild.
Right, and I was there a few years ago. The facility is not actually open to the public. If you are interested in volunteering, which, Josh, they need volunteers. This is a shout out, and we'll talk more about what you can do if you become a volunteer at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. But I remember seeing, you know, the hospital, the ponds, the water for the birds to be in. And then there was you have like almost a medical facility where because you have to administer, you know, antibiotics and things of that nature. And when you suture things. So do you work with a vet, or do you yourself do some of that suturing?
Some of the stuff I do myself. Suturing I can do myself. Charnel and I have done plenty of, you know, bone pinnings, you know, surgeries on our own. The bigger, more complicated, a lot of the stuff, we do consult with a vet often. In fact, I'm meeting with a vet today for a certain situation. But, you know, we consult with vets about, you know, infections, how can we test this infection to find out what it's susceptible, you know, what it's sensitive to for antibiotics. But, you know, for the most part, we do a lot of it ourselves just because the vets aren't free. And we are a nonprofit that's, our resources are limited.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
And so a lot of the stuff, suturing, we do ourselves. Fractures, you know, we do a lot of x-rays ourselves. We have an x-ray machine and developer. We do x-rays ourselves unless we need the bigger one that the vets have. But we do consult with a vet for big things, things that we aren't comfortable with, which is a lot of the stuff, you know. And they have the expertise where, you know, I'm a licensed rehabilitator, but I haven't been through any special training to, you know, pin bones or do veterinary procedures.
Right. So you have to work with the vet. So you do what you can do, and then mm-hmm. you have to also work with a veterinarian. And typically, how many injured animals do you have at one time there?
At one time, well, you know, it depends on the time of the year. You know, we were getting like 10 to 20 in a day. And so we actually had to temporarily shut down operations, not accept any more. But by that, I mean we weren't accepting any more wildlife for a while. Now we're back up. But, you know, sometimes we have, you know, we'll have five to ten birds in with an injury that needs antibiotics. And, you know, that sort of stuff takes time. You know, it takes a trained volunteer, and so it makes our operation slow down a lot.
Sure. So, but over these 20 years, you've rehabilitated, I know, thousands of birds. Right. And other wildlife also. I mean, bobcats, and, you know, we talked about that, and mm-hmm. porcupines and whatever. But right now it's just you, and then you have a part-time employee as well.
Correct, yeah. There's only two of us that are on payroll.
Okay, mm-hmm. and then the rest are volunteers who come out and help with the birds, do help cleaning the cages and all that, and you need more volunteers, I know, because, I mean, Charnel, a lot of people, I think, were shocked that she – that it felt sudden to them that she left. However, Charnel was a force of nature. She was very powerful. She would just go beyond what her little body could probably do. And I know that when I looked on the Portland Audubon Society website, it said she died of a lung infection. She had, I know, been not feeling well for about the last year. And you said that, so you'd been pretty much the director of operations, you'd been doing all the volunteers, all the rehab, and she'd been doing a lot of the administrative work on the computer.
Right, yeah, that's how it was. She was, you know, chronically ill, we'll say, and so for the past year, I mean, she had groomed me pretty well to be where I'm at now, but yeah, for about the past year or so, she was doing mostly administrative while I was doing the rehab for her, and it was a good system. It worked out well for us.
But. Yes, and in terms of volunteers, we'll talk more about that in the second half of the program also, but you need volunteers to do what kinds of things, Josh?
The volunteers I need people on site, wildlife hospital volunteers, people that are there to handle the wildlife every day, clean their cages, you know, do the laundry, do the dishes, feed the wildlife. It's a very hands-on volunteer job. It's what we need the most of, but you are working directly with wildlife every day, or the days that you're there, and that's what we need the most, is people that are there to be hands-on with the wildlife and help us get stuff done.
And I think you said that there's a 9-to-1 kind mm-hmm. of shift, maybe, and then maybe a 2-to-6 shift,
right?
And you have to be 17 years of age mm-hmm. and have an interest in wildlife and birds. And think of how it would be if we didn't have the wildlife here. That's part of the richness of living here on the North Coast, is the ability to see and hear the wildlife. Have you rehabilitated great blue herons?
We have. We've done great blue herons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just have such a primitive sound, don't they? When they mm-hmm. what they call it's just this raucous kind of
right.
Wild sound. And do you have a favorite bird that you like to work with?
Oh man, I don't know if I have favorites. I really like the common murres, just because we do so many of them. I mean, we did 700 common murres last year, and we're probably going to do that many, if not more, this year. No, you know, I don't really have a favorite. They're all different. And when you work in wildlife rehab, too, you notice that they're all very different.
They
all have different personalities.
Right.
Yeah.
Each individual bird has different personalities.
Right. And the thing with wildlife rehab, too, is, you know, we special, you know, we are very individualized. We focus on individualized care for wildlife. You know, you put a lot of effort into one little bird that, you know, in the big scheme of things, you know, but that's our focus. And you do learn the different personalities of every single species out there. It's pretty interesting. And every individual bird as well.
And pelicans. I mean, you have pelicans. You mm-hmm. have, and the reason that these birds are brought to you, the injuries, are they caused by, are they man-made injuries? I mean, what is the cause of most of the injuries that send the birds to the Wildlife Center of the North Coast?
A lot of it is man-caused or human-related. We get a lot of hit-by-car birds that aren't seabirds. We get hit-by-car gulls. We get hit-by-car hawks, eagles. Mammals are a lot of the time hit-by-car. We get, you know, birds that were shot by people. As far as seabirds go, we get, we do get the occasional red-tailed hawk that was starving. He wasn't finding food, and he ended up starving, so we have to fatten him up. But as far as seabirds go, we get a lot of fishing line entanglement. We get, you know, birds that were starving out there, ended up on the beach, and then a dog came up, you know, and munched on them a bit. And, of course, the starving birds that we get, we've been getting a lot of starving birds, but the starving birds we've been getting in, there's speculation that it's caused by warming ocean conditions. And, you know, who knows, with the climate changing, cause, you know, who knows what that's...
It's all connected.
Right.
It's just all connected, absolutely. I have a poem I want to read about Charnel. We're gonna take a few minutes and talk about her a little bit in the second half of the program. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're speaking with Josh Sarampa. Josh is the new director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast because the founder of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast died last week, Charnel Fee. And this center she established is a vital and important part of our community. And right now, there is a need for volunteers. There's a need for donations. There will be a celebration of life for Charnel. Why don't you tell people about that?
So the celebration of life for Charnel we have planned for October 10th, which is the second Saturday in October. It runs from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Warrenton Community Center. It's, you know, anyone's welcome. The community, the public's welcome. What we're going to do is there's going to be some food there donated by some donated by the Rio Cafe and some desserts donated by Supper Club. It's just, you know, we're going to have a slideshow and a little video playing about Charnel. We're going to share stories about Charnel and wildlife. And we are also going to have some of our education birds there and talk about the Wildlife Center and who we are, what we do to kind of bring more awareness to Charnel's legacy, so to speak. And that's October 10th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Warrenton Community Center.
That's great. I know that the Daily Historian, of course, wrote a piece about Charnel, and I'll just read a couple of little things that the Audubon Society had on their website. Oregon Coast loses important wildlife advocate, and Portland Audubon loses a friend. Portland Audubon lost a good friend this week when Charnel Fee passed away after several weeks of battling a severe lung infection. Charnel founded the Wildlife Center of the North Coast in 1999 and served as its director up until her passing. During that time, she gave thousands of birds and animals a second chance at life in the wild. Charnel raised the alarm about seabirds that were coming in with stomachs and crops full of plastic back when this problem was first hitting the radar screen. She raised a ruckus about people driving on the beaches running over gulls. And she watched warily over a dredged spoil island in the Columbia River estuary where the Corps of Engineers waged an ever-escalating effort to scapegoat fish-eating birds for salmon declines caused by their own mismanagement of the Columbia River hydropower system. In 2015, Charnel joined Portland Audubon as a co-litigant suing the Corps when it announced its intention to slaughter thousands of cormorants on the island. Charnel was powerful. She was respected. She was, and here at the end it says, the Oregon coast has lost an outstanding rehabilitator. The birds have lost a true champion. Those of us who knew Charnel have lost a unique and inspirational friend. Her legacy, however, will live on in the center she built and the birds she saved. Josh Sarampa, whom she mentored since he was a teenager, has been appointed as the new director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. And in order to honor Charnel, then Audubon is requesting, and we also request for donations to continue to keep the Wildlife Center of the North Coast functioning, and also to come to her celebration of life on October 10th. And if you are interested in seeing if being a volunteer is a good idea for you, then you can certainly call or visit the website. I would like to read a poem which I found yesterday when I was thinking about this program, which I think Charnel would be pleased with. This is a poem from John O'Donohue's book. He was an Irish poet who died far too young. The title of the book is To Bless the Space Between Us. And it's a book of blessings. And this particular blessing, really, rather than, I guess, a poem, it's all poetry and beautiful words, is entitled To Learn from Animal Being. And this is for you, Charnel. Thank you so much for what you did for us. Nearer to the earth's heart, deeper within its silence, animals know this world in a way we never will. We, who are ever distanced and distracted by the parade of bright windows, thought opens. Their seamless presence is not fractured thus. Stranded between time gone and time emerging, we manage seldom to be where we are, whereas they are always looking out from the here and now. May we learn to return and rest in the beauty of animal being. Learn to lean low, leave our locked minds, and with freed senses, feel the earth breathing with us. May we enter into lightness of spirit and slip frequently into the feel of the wild. Let the clear silence of our animal being cleanse our hearts of corrosive words. May we learn to walk upon the earth with all their confidence and clear-eyed stillness, so that our minds might be baptized in the name of the wind and the light and the rain. That's for you, Charnel. And for all of you who love wildlife, the Wildlife Center of the North Coast offers this opportunity right here in our backyard. You're only 9 miles away from Astoria. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I know when I've had in the past, I've had Charnel on the program, I've had other volunteers, and they talk about the inspirational stories of being able to save the life of an eagle, a hawk, a great blue heron, and rehabilitate it back into the wild. Is that what keeps you doing what you're doing?
It does. You know, day to day, sometimes it seems like the it's just all depressing sometimes. You know, yeah, coming from me who sees a lot of the depressing stuff there, but when you get in even a little mer, say, that had a laceration on its chest, right, and we sutured him up, put him on antibiotics for a week or so, and then we get to watch as he, you know, does better and better each day, is eating, fattens up, and the next spring, you know, when we get to release 25 mers at once, it's really, I mean, that's really what we're all in it for, is to release these birds back out into the wild. We see them come in. We care for them daily. We're hands-on with them. We get to see them, you know, like I said, get better, you know, and with every bird, like with the eagles too, you know, we get someone with really bad, you know, especially the birds that come in with really serious issues, injuries, with badly broken wings. If we can fix that wing, get the bird flying again, watch as he conditions and gets himself healthy, and then we release him, and then we see him, you know, a second chance at life, essentially. One that he wouldn't have had without a rehab center. This bird comes in, it would have been hit by a car, broken wing, he would have starved to death or been hit again. But with a rehab center like us, he gets at least a shot at being put back out to live and retry, you know.
What do you feed the birds? What are they? I mean, they're fish eating mostly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we feed fish, a lot of fish, to our seabirds. In fact, we spend on average about $20,000 a year on fish. We don't get discounts. But yeah, we feed fish, two different species of fish, herring and capelin, to our seabirds, and then to, of course, our birds of prey, our raptors. We buy frozen mice and rats from a dealer, so to speak. Then of course we have specialized diet seeds and stuff for our songbirds, and specialized critical care diets for the birds that come in really, starving.
And what birds are your educational birds? I know that the educational component is also a really important piece of this, because if people realize, you know, that they shouldn't harass wildlife, or they shouldn't try to take babies out of a nest, or they shouldn't use a slingshot. A lot of times, you know, little boys, I mean, I suppose little girls could do it too, but I think that the image is that it's mostly like, you know, hey, let's see if we can, you know, knock that bird out of the tree or whatever. And so what is, tell us about the birds you have for educational purposes and what you do in the schools.
So we have, currently we have two common mers, a northern fulmar. We're working with a rhinoceros auklet and a double-crested cormorant for education. We have a kestrel falcon and a saw-whet owl, that we use for education. What we do is we take these birds out, the raptors we have trained to a glove, and we take them out to the education programs. We bring them out to school programs or classes. We've brought our birds out to summer camps. I have one later in like the middle of October at a retirement home, an education program. But what we do is we bring all of our birds out. We talk natural history of the birds. We talk about conservation efforts or conservation issues with each species, if there is or are any. And we do, I mean, charge for our programs as well. We used to do them for free, but, you know, we started driving down to Garibaldi, Oregon, to do programs for free, you know. And so now we do have a $200 charge for our programs, and that's an hour-long program talking about natural history. You get to see the birds up close. You know, we have pictures and hands-on learning tools. And
you know, that's a great idea, though, when you think about people who are getting together for whatever purpose, you know, a potluck or a group that wants to learn something more about wildlife. I mean, that's a fabulous idea that you all can come and bring, because how many people really get to get close up
right.
to an eagle or a saw-whet owl.
Right. Yeah, it is good. A lot of people don't, especially with the seabirds, people don't see these seabirds up close ever. You know, they're mm-hmm. out in the middle of the ocean, so we have these seabirds in a little, you know, free-running cage area, and they get to come up close, see these birds up close, see them interact with one another in the cage, and it's pretty neat. It's unique.
So are you the one who's doing, because that's a lot of responsibility. You're a young man, and you've been mentored by Charnel, I know, these last almost 8 years. However, now you've got to look at the administrative part of how mm-hmm. things are going. I mean, I'm sure that grant writing probably needs to happen. Do you need volunteers mm-hmm. who can do those kinds of things?
We'll take any volunteer we can get, especially if you have experience in grant writing. We would be happy to have you sit down with some of our board members and discuss what you'd be willing to do as far as grant writing. We do want people that are interested in volunteering to help us do our education programs, because currently it is me and one other person, and that one other person is a school teacher during this time of year, so she can't help me much. So we do need people that are interested in doing education programs with us. Pretty much give us a call, tell us what your skills and are, okay. and we're happy to work with that.
Right. Okay. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So we only have a few minutes left here, Josh. What other things would you like the listening audience to know about that perhaps we didn't touch on so far?
Well, that's we covered a lot.
That's true. We did. Yeah.
I know. I mean, I do want the public to know, the people listening to know that you know, that we're here. We are, you know, the Wildlife Center North
this
Coast.
This will continue.
Here.
Charnel, definitely. Yeah. I know she always even said to me years ago, like, I need to make sure this place continues when I'm not here. Because she has created a very, very valuable niche. No one else is doing this. Mm-hmm. No one in the state of Oregon. You're it.
For seabird rehabilitation,
right.
Yeah. And we are here. We're going to stay here as long as we are supported by the public, the community. I mean, this time of year, this transition period right now is really going to be financially trying and, you know, of course, emotionally trying. But as long as we have support from the public, the community, financially and you know, with their time, we'll get through it just fine. But that's why I want people to know, is that we are here. We're still operating as usual, that we need
help.
And
you need help right mm-hmm. now. This is, as you said, this is a crucial transitional period. You mm-hmm. need help. You need volunteers. You need donations.
Right.
I know you had to get a new truck recently, mm-hmm. or not new. You bought a used truck, but mm-hmm. still you needed to have that. And so I would encourage all of you listening, if you have some time, if you love to listen to the calls of these wild birds, if you love to see the birds, and if this enriches your life, the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is a great way for you to be, you know, outside and inside the hospital doing things and to help maintain our wildlife population right. here on the North Coast. Mm-hmm. And Josh, why don't you give people the website?
Our website is www.coastwildlife.org. And you can go on there if you want to. That has all the information about us. And if you go on there to the contact page, you can contact us.
Okay, and
well.
Just call you and say, hey, I heard the show, and I really want to do something to
right.
help the Wildlife Center of the North
yeah.
Coast. Well, Josh, thank you for being here. Thanks. I know that Charnel must have felt at least good in her heart that when she left that she knew that you were going to continue this work. So
yeah.
honor you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And for those of you who wish to honor Charnel Fee, you can make a donation in her name to the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. You can call and volunteer for Josh. And you can come to her October 10th Celebration of Life at the Warrington Community Center at 3 o'clock, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
3 okay. to 5.
3 to 5, October 10th, Celebration of Life for Charnel Fee. Thank you so much, Josh. Thank you, Terry Wilson, who just had a big birthday yesterday. You don't, Terry, really? I mean, what kind of, you're taking some sort of special vitamins. You can't possibly be, how old were you yesterday?
80.
80, no.
My wife says I'm the oldest three-year-old she's ever met.
I think that's true, Terry. Well, thank you. Congratulations. Continue on. Next year you'll be 4 when you're 81. Thank you, Terry, for your extraordinary engineering. I also want to give a shout-out to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. We forget to breathe. We're just all caught up in so many things in the world, the news and how busy we are. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Take a deep breath and then focus on the good things in your life, the things that are working well, on feeling good, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for doing the best you can, for being uniquely you, for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.